Chapter 1. Incomes have recently peaked for most people. Less than 100 years ago, if you had asked a random person where they had grown up, over half would have answered, on a farm. Today, you are lucky ever to get that reply, as only 1 in 50 people works in agriculture in most advanced economies. Had you further asked those farmers back then what decided if you were rich or poor, they would have been quick to say that the size of your land and its soil mattered most, and how many good hands, oxen, and horses were available to work that land. They too might have mentioned the weather, the right amount of sunlight and water, the absence of pests, and maybe your capability to store and sell your crops. Economic textbooks back then said the same as the farmers. Today, for most of us, our lives revolve around other things. We work in offices or factories, or provide services to people who work in offices and factories. And even if we are one of those rare farmers, what matters most has changed altogether. Farmers work with machines and computers like everyone else, and run their farms pretty much like any other business. Grain yields per acre have increased massively, for example. Corn harvest per acre grew sixfold between 1930 and 2010. If they industrially farm fruit and vegetables in a greenhouse, neither the acreage of their land nor the amount of sunlight or rain matter much, just the size of the factory and how well they manage their growing conditions and avoid pests. Why has all this changed completely? Why have we seemingly become so independent from land, sunlight, and water to go about our lives? Commonly, this change is attributed to the Industrial Revolution, specifically, the introduction of technology to do things more easily that previously required a lot of manual or animal labor, which brought us luxuries our ancestors never had, such as cars, airplanes, and smartphones. This process started about 250 years ago by introducing steam engines in England, and has since spread to every single corner of our planet. We would rather label it the Energy Revolution, but let's first take a brief history tour. We begin with the year 1800, 13 years after the Constitution was born. For most people, little had changed for centuries except for the place they lived. About 75% of Americans were farmers, working their land with draft animals in their bare hands. A few steam engines had appeared in coal mines and factories, but there were no railroads yet, no electricity, and not much else resembling today's advanced societies. Parts of Europe and the newly born United States of America were, like today, among the richest places around the world. However, rich back then meant that an average person's income was about $2,500 in 2015 dollars. That is, a little more than $200 a month. Can you imagine living off $200? You have to travel far into the poorer regions of Africa or Asia to find countries with similar per capita incomes today. Just as a comparison, a full 1,800 years earlier, in ancient Rome around 1 AD, average incomes were around $1,500, only 40% less. Such little progress for such a long time. Fast track to the year 1950. The average U.S. income had experienced a sevenfold increase. Everything we know today was showing up. Cars, planes, TVs, telecommunications, the first computers, and modern farming, feeding more people per acre than ever before. However, farmers still made up over 12% of the workforce, as many still worked the way they had for centuries, without much machinery. Another jump forward by 50 years to the year 2000, and within those short 50 years, per capita income had tripled again, and we had reached a peak of human economic success for almost everyone in the country. By then, the average American's income was 21 times that of 200 years prior when adjusted for inflation. And the good part was that lower incomes had participated more than anybody else in this rise, making each person the richest person in history within their income range. The entire world participated in the same growth story, often a little later and less pronounced, or starting from lower levels. From 1820 to 2010, within less than 200 years, global per capita income grew 11 times in inflation-adjusted dollars, while the world's population increased from roughly 1 billion to 7 billion people within the same period. In other words, the entire global economic output is now 77 times bigger than it used to be 200 years ago. Many more people live on our planet, and much more wealth is now available for almost each and every one of them. But then, during the past 15 years, this amazing pattern started to break. It began with low-income earners and advanced economies, and more recently hit almost everyone except for the ominous top 1%. Between the year 2000 and 2014, all but the richest households saw their inflation-adjusted incomes shrink in the U.S. Let's try to dive a little deeper into that. Households at the top of the lowest quintile, meaning that 20% of households make less and 80% earn more, have seen their inflation-adjusted annual income shrink by 14% between the years 2000 and 2014, throwing them back to the levels of 1974. Households at the 60% mark, which means that 40% have a higher income than them, lost 8% in those 13 years, pushing their incomes back to that of 1995. Only households above the 95% level have seen a rise, at least on paper. The year 2015 has seen a slight rise for most thanks to lower resource prices, but unfortunately, this benefit isn't here to stay. What is particularly remarkable, this decline partially took place during a recovery period after the so-called Great Recession, following the financial crisis of 2008 and 2009, despite feverish attempts of governments and central banks to restart the economy, ranging from deficit spending, economic stimulus, to the lowest interest rates in history. This new dynamic is puzzling everyone, but we will explain in the next two chapters how we have more or less used up the easily accessible natural resources on our planet with no good replacements in sight, and are now working our way through the hard-to-get ones, which makes things much more difficult.